Hafaday, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
I thought, you know, Lord, as simple as that is, how often do we all miss that? And that is why it comes back to such a simple idea. And the point is that life events that we struggle with are the very things that God wants to use to bless us.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Herron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Herron with today's message.
I took 80 hours of home movies and videos and Super 8 and Beta and VHS and put it down to 5 hours on DVD. So for I don't know how many hours, I didn't look at all 80 hours, but I just kind of selected stuff out of these, well, from our marriage day to just a couple of years ago. I didn't do the last few years because I ran out of time. So it was really enjoyable. It was a little bit nostalgic. And yet when I went through all of that, I remember a few things that I'd forgotten about and other things that I'm glad I got on video. Kids wiped out, almost getting killed and getting it all on video. So there's some good things on this. This is like vintage things. But when it's all said and done, it's nice to be nostalgic. It's nice to get it all. And I'm glad I was able to get some of that. The point was in all of this, as I scanned, I don't know if it's much different in the idea that many times when we look at stories and events of people in the Old Testament, our propensity is to kind of get a satellite picture. We read it, we look at it. And the fact is that let's take the life of David, okay, because that's who we're focusing on. There's no way over a 70-year period of this guy's life that you're going to get every single event. I think that's one of the great things about heaven, because when we get to heaven, I'm going to talk to David and say, David, would you explain a few things here? Because the Bible gives us some highlights, some kind of shots that are freeze-framed that we can look at, but there's a whole lot of things went on that are not documented in the 66 chapters that we have related to David, the 59 references in the New Testament. Why in the world did God give that to us? And I think one among other reasons why Romans 15 verse 4 makes this statement gives us one reason among other reasons that God did in essence kind of video for us and say, this is what you need to know. And notice what he did in Romans 15. This is the context of a church. It's a context of the weak and the strong. It's a context of basically Paul saying, listen, just like Christ, verse 3, for even Christ pleased not himself, but as is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. And Jesus himself, like Christ, was living for others' interests, not for his own. The whole point of Romans 14, talking about things that were permissible and things that were being done in the church and the struggle in this early church, that Paul was saying, if you would live by the principle, don't be selfish, live for others, that's what will bring unity in a church. And then he said in verse 4, for whatever things are written aforetime. And now he starts illustrating the Old Testament, all those things written in the Old Testament were written to illustrate that these people also didn't live for themselves. They lived for a bigger cause. And that's how he said it in verse 4. Notice, he says, these things were written for our what? What's the word right there? Learning. Why was the Old Testament given? Among other reasons, it was given for our learning. And what will we gain? We're talking about David here. Let's just take his one life among myriads of others. There are seven major points in which, just like chapters, I've got a DVD. God kind of says, here are chapters. You could follow David's life. And I'm not going to walk through all this, but just as a quick overview. Because when David was 15, we talked about this 2 weeks ago. There was selection of David. This is when David himself was a nobody. And God saw that out of David, he's got a heart after me. I'm going to pick him out. About a year later, the slaying of the giant. And then you end up finding David from 18 to 20, the start of his public leadership, where he started solving problems. He started gaining leadership. He solved the problem. You find him between his age of 20 and 30, that 10-year period, shaping in the wilderness, where he was struggling while he was growing. You end up finding over the next 20 years, different points in time, the things are mentioned, but the fact is, he was the sovereign king for those 22 years, and those kingly traits that were displayed through his heart for God. And then at 52, in that time period, is when that unfortunate foolish is the godly become foolish, that he himself that made a wrong move and sinned against God and Bathsheba and Uriah, and the sin and sorrow of a willful king that over the next 18 years were great struggle in the leadership of David and the family struggles. God's hand was still on David, and ultimately you end up finding the painful times of his own son Absalom that wrenched the kingdom out of the hand temporarily. And yet God said, I promised that David, a line of David, would become a great king someday. And what now we know is Christ. And ultimately then the final epitaph of David was in his speaking those last words and the passing of the torch of leadership. And those were lessons that were learned. Paul goes on to say, that's what you could learn, but notice if you would, in verse 4 of chapter 15 of Romans, back to that, he says, here are three major benefits, not only the life of David, but others, but we've been talking about David. He said, you are to learn this, not living for yourself, living for others. That's what's going to bring unity. But notice as well, the benefits. Number one, he says that we would be patient with God in our growth. He said it this way, that we, through patience. You know what the benefit of doing what we're doing, and as you on your own take up the Bible and Old Testament rich passages, it benefits us. It helps us, as God says, listen, it will, through your own patience that you have, through your own steadfast endurance, the word is, that steadfast in face of adversity, God says, the events that you will go through and the adversity you go through, when you look at all this and you've learned how I've shown myself strong on behalf of those, I'll do the same thing for you. And Paul starts linking together the events of these lives from the past that says to you, you people at Rome, and now to us today, you be patient. Number two, he says, not only would we be patient with God in our growth, but he said, and comfort of the scriptures. You know why else that we can learn? And the benefit of it? Because that we would be comforted by the scriptures. We would be the parakletos. We would be the friendly encouragement is the word. Of scriptures, and that God himself, I will comfort you, and the pressures and difficulties that you've read about of those, and not only David, but many others, and the difficulties, and when we walk through those times and period that he was in the shaping of the wilderness, that 10-year period, which many of the Psalms, the 73 out of the 150 that we've recorded in our scripture, that without the pressure, you would have no of those passages of scripture. And the same thing is going to be for your own life. That the major times of pressure that you come in your own life, as you get away from those, responding to the scriptures and the patience and the comfort then you will gain to realize, God, you will give me that same patience and you will give me that comfort to know you will encourage me, the friendly encouragement. And the last benefit is that he says we would be hopeful that God will then work in all of us. It's the idea when he said in Romans 15, 4, and the comfort of the scriptures, and that we would have hope. It's not the, well, I hope so. It's the genuine term of the joyful confidence, the expectation. It's the present tense, keep on having hope. It's the assurance of a faith attitude. It draws all of us back to realize, you know, this book right here is a documentation that God said, I'm giving to you, not just so that you can read it as a textbook, so that it becomes my voice box to you. So that when the difficulties that you end up going through, you will end up gaining patience. You'll end up gaining comfort. You'll end up gaining the hope, the expectation, God, we are living at our worst, knowing we're having our best before us. The world right now is living at its best. And it has the worst to look forward to. Who's in a better position? And yet all of our world that we live in right now, everything you read is totally opposite of what God would say, I am going to work all of this out. That's why maybe it was beneficial and for me personally, able to look on a family scenario, all of the blessings that God's done for us. Boy, I can sure remember particular painful times, yet all of that, are just illustration of, for your life, for my life, God on occasion brings us through those difficult times, and we race to the Scriptures because it unveils for us who Christ really is. I was able to see my dad for a day, and we were eating with a guy named Harvey Hoekstra is his name. He wrote a book called The Talking Bible. This is a guy that just turned 80. My dad had just turned 80, and I ended up sitting having lunch with these men. It was kind of unexpected, but his wife has Alzheimer's, and so she's in this rest home that he is at. And boy, I thought, what a prime opportunity. Here's this guy who I'm sitting across the table from that had been in missions over almost 50 years. Well, he'd been in ministry almost 50 years. He was a Minnesota farmer, got saved in his late teens, went off to Bible college. Within a year, raised money. He and his wife moved the whole family to Africa, and for the next 40 years, give himself to these African tribes. This is the guy that after 10 years serving on the field, taking the Bible in English and putting an end to the language of the tribe, which he glad he did, but he realized there's no way I can continue to get this message out to all the other tribes. And so he came up with the idea of recording the language on a small cassette and taking these cassettes and buying them and giving them to all these converts now that he had been discipling. And they were to take this now and the Bible that's now talking on this little box, and they would begin going to all these villages throughout all his region there in Africa. And so that's what happened. And many of them that went out for a week and two, and some that were out for a month and 2 months, and they started coming back. And they were bringing back with them these long strings, this grass that they had woven into this string. And some of them had knots on them, a few knots. Some of them had 10, 20, 30. Some of them had 100 different knots on this one long string. He said, "What are these?" They said to them, "Well, sir, we have taken the gospel that changed our life. We've been able to take the talking Bible out to all of our other villages, and we would play the gospel. And when the people wanted to take Christ from the heart, we didn't know what else to do, so we tied a knot every time somebody ended up taking Christ as their Savior." It was thrilling. He's telling me all of this. I asked him, I said, "Here you are at the end of your life. Your wife is not doing well. You're not in the best of health." I said, "If you were able to sit down and talk to a young missionary or young Christian and give them advice, what would you say to them?" He said, "Well, I've not been able to do that." I said, "Well, let's just suppose that you have a young couple with you in front of you. What would you say to them?" He said, "You know what I'd say? I'd say, number one, you need to have a personal walk with God, an intimacy with your Lord. Because just because you're doing things for God does not replace your very love for the Lord. And number two," he said, "I guess I would tell them to have a positive attitude. Don't be negative. Just be positive. Things happen. They're going to happen that are bad. Then you just take it as okay. You know, we can't do anything about it. And hey, we'll start fresh tomorrow." He said that to me, and I thought, you know, how basic is that? But boy, that came off the lips of a man that's 80 years old, that through the patience and through the comfort and through the hope of Scripture, this guy fleshed it out. That was the power of that one. I thought, you know, Lord, as simple as that is, how often do we all miss that? And that is why it comes back to such a simple idea. And the point is that life events that we struggle with are the very things that God wants to use to bless us. And there are things that make no sense to us. And we do, I don't know, I can't explain this. And yet when you put scriptures over that event, you realize God is going to get the glory through all of this.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.